picking up in Shoftim, Perek Vav, Pasuk Zion. We discussed last week how the Midianites were oppressing the Jewish people. Pasuk describes that for 7 years they were in the hands of the Midianites, and we learned about how the Midianites not only looted everything that the Jewish people had, but also would just destroyed whatever remained in terms of the field and the crops, and looted their animals, etc. And Bnei Yisrael was very poor and oppressed, was in hiding. Pasuk Zayin, verse 7, Vayehi, Yizaku Bnei Yisrael El Hashem. And it was when Bnei Yisrael cried out to Hashem, Al Odos Midian, on the matter of Midian, Vayishlach Hashem Ish Navi Al Bnei Yisrael. And Hashem sent an Ish Navi, a prophet, to Bnei Yisrael, Vayomer Lahem, and he said to them, Ko Amar Hashem Elokei Yisrael, so says Hashem, the God of Israel, Anochi Ha'Lesi Hashem Mitzrayim, I brought you up from Mitzrayim, Va'otzi Hashem Mibeis Avodim, and I took you out from the house of slavery. Who was this Ish Navi? Rashi tells us, Zeha Navi Hu Pinchas. This Navi was Pinchas, so it says in Seder Olam, Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron HaKohen lived a very long life. We'll see, he's still around in the days of David HaMelech. And he was the Navi who was sent at this point to speak to Klal Yisrael. The Rabbag is bothered. The Rabbag asks that if Pinchas was still around, so why wasn't he the acting leader? Why did he need Devorah? Why are we going to need Gidon? You've got Pinchas. So he suggests, first of all, that Pinchas wasn't necessarily a consistently prophesizing Navi. He occasionally, Nevuah came to him, but he didn't have this. I guess he wasn't on that level, or for whatever reason, he didn't have that constant Nevuah, and therefore he wouldn't be fit to be the actual leader of Klal Yisrael.
How was Pinchas still around?
Pinchas to Eliyahu. So Pinchas,
he remained living in a regular human form, or it was like occasionally he would come back.
So it seems that he it was in a. I mean, first of all, right now we're not so long after we're not so long after they came into Eretz Yisrael. So David HaMelech is going to be already, you know, a long time in. But I believe that the pasuk by David HaMelech actually calls him. I believe it calls him, you know, Pinchas ben Elazar. Like, it doesn't just say Navi, and I believe it's explicit there. But
He didn't yet die.
I don't think we're so many years. I don't know the exact calculation, but all we had was 14 years of Yoshua conquering, and then we had a few Nevi'im, you know, some of them 20 years, some maybe 40, but we're not looking at a tremendous amount of time since they, maybe we're looking at 75 years or so from when they came into Eretz Yisrael. I'm not even sure if it's that much. I haven't added it up.
That would make them at least 100 years old.
Right, so that's not crazy.
He wasn't old enough to be in the Gzeira to be killed in the Midbar, to die out in the Midbar, right?
Were the Levium part of that Gzeira in general? I'm not sure. Well, he's not, because we're not introduced to Gidon yet. Gidon hasn't.
Maybe that is the introduction.
Well, you'll see that it's not going to make sense at all to say that. So that's one thing the Ralbag offers. And then he says that his lashon is maybe it's similar to what Rabbi Slepo is suggesting, that Efshar Kimosh Eliyahu Pam Nira Pam Ne'elam, just like Eliyahu was sometimes seeing and sometimes missing, because he saw Eyu Ruach Hashem when the spirit of Hashem would uplift him El Makom Rachok to a far place. Kachaya Ingim B'Pinchas, and so too is Pinchas. So I'm not sure if he's suggesting that like you're saying that he would, you know, reappear in human form at some different times, or if just, you know, he would stay away, he would be hidden, and then he would, you know, he would have this blast of Ruach HaKodesh, of Ruach Hashem, and then he would emerge for a time and then go back into, and then disappear again. But he says, and therefore, that's why Pinchas was never the Kohen Gadol, as opposed to his children and grandchildren. For many generations, we find, even though he was still alive, he didn't serve as Kohen Gadol either. The pasuk that I was referring to, which describes him as being alive in Medavik, is actually found in Divrei Hayamim that he references here. And it refers to him as Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron. And he says we don't find anywhere in the lineage of Aaron anyone else who was named Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron. That someone else could have been in Divrei Hayamim. He says as Mavur in Sefer Toldosim. I think in Divrei Hayamim it describes the lineage. We don't find anyone else who could fit under that. The descendants of Aaron, maybe up to the time of David, who could fit into that, you know, three-generation name, Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron.
Why is that significant?
Therefore, he's saying that it seems, the Rabbag is saying that the person described in Divrei Hayamim was, in fact, this same Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron. And therefore, it seems that he was alive even in the days of David. So, and yet we never see that he was Kohen Gadol or the leader, but that's because maybe he didn't always have the Ruach HaKodesh, he wasn't always a Navi, it was sporadic, something along those lines. But here he's being called Ish Navi, and he says to them, Hashem, so says Hashem, I am Hashem who brought you up from Mitzrayim, and I took you out of the house of slavery. Va'atzil eschem miyad Mitzrayim, pasuk tes, and I saved you from Mitzrayim, umiyad kol lochateichem, and from all those who oppressed you. Va'agarish osam mipneichem, and I separated you from before them. Va'etna lochem es artam, and I gave you your land. Va'omra lochem, and I said to you, Ani Hashem Elokeichem, I am Hashem your God. Vosiru es Elohei ha'emori, do not fear the gods of the Amorites. Asher etzem yoshim ba'artam, that you dwell in their land. And yet, v'lo shematem b'koli, despite all that I did for you, all the miracles I performed for you, v'lo shematem b'koli, you have not listened to my voice. Farshim, I saw this somewhere, that Vosiris Elohei Amori says, don't fear the gods of the Amori, that it's not saying that they were worshipping those gods, but rather that they feared at least the Koach of Tumah that the idol worshippers could produce and influence over different kochos and powers out there. That's what they feared, and Hashem is telling them, but through the Navi, don't fear them. I've taken care of you in the past. I'm going to take care of you again. I guess he hasn't told them that yet, But he's, so far he's just telling them, I've performed all these miracles, and yet why haven't you listened to me? Why have you gone astray? And now we're going to be introduced to Gidon. Vayavu Malach Hashem. And the Malach of Hashem came. And now this time, it sounds like it's someone else. It's no longer Pinchas. Pinchas was called upon to make that declaration, maybe to inspire the people. Perhaps it didn't work. Perhaps it was just to rebuke them. But now this is the beginning of the salvation is going to come about. Vayavu Malach Hashem. And the Malach of Hashem came, Vayeshev Tachas Ha'Ela Asher Be'afra, and it sat under the Ela, under the tree that was in this place called Afra, Asher LeYoash Avi HaEzri, that belonged to Yoash, the father of Ezri, or from the house of Ezri, he was the son of Abiezer. So Abiezer, he was the son of Abiezer, who was the son of Gilad ben Menashe. The Gidon Dino, and Gidon his son, Chovet Sitim Bagas. Gidon his son was smashing, he was threshing Sitim, threshing wheat, Bagas, in the wine press. The Hanis Vipnei Midian, to hide it from Midian. So we know, as we mentioned, right, that Midian would come and confiscate all the food. So therefore, they had to hide what they were doing. If they got a hold of some kernels, so instead of threshing in the normal place, the threshing floor, they had to do it in the wine press to hide that. Maybe I'm not sure why they wouldn't also be checking the wine press, but. As opposed to maybe the threshing floor. So, but that's what he was doing, to hide it from the Midianites. And also he was threshing it, chovet means he was hitting it with some kind of stick. Again, not the normal way to do it. You normally have your animals thresh your grain. That's how it was done. But the animals would stamp on all the grain to thresh it. That's what's described extensively in the Messiah. That's how they would do it. And instead he was doing it. That's to winnow it.
Oh, that's to winnow it.
So that's another way to do it, but I think typically they did it they had their animals step on it. But again, he was doing it in the abnormal way. In fact, we're going to talk about in a moment how it was Pesach time now. So one of the Mefarshim points out that there may be another reason why he was doing it with his hand instead of the normal way to do it with the animals. It was Chol HaMoed Pesach. And at least it was Pesach. He said, this one thing, let's figure out the timing exactly of what day of Pesach it was is maybe, you know, a little unclear. But this particular commentary said it was Chol HaMoed Pesach. And the halacha is, it's brought down in Shulchan Aruch, that right on Chol HaMoed, you're not allowed to do malacha. You're only allowed to do malacha if it's davar ha-nevad, if it's something that will be lost, or something that you need for the holiday itself. So the halacha is that you're not allowed to harvest on Chol HaMoed if you won't lose out by not doing it then. If you don't have anything to eat, so then you're allowed to harvest. Even though technically you could go buy it from the store, you could go to the market to buy it, you don't have to. You could harvest your own food and use that on Chol HaMoed. Shulchan Aruch says, rather, you're allowed to harvest it, and you can thresh it, and you can winnow it, and you could deborer it, you could separate from it, kidarko, in a normal way. Uvilvad, says the Shulchan Aruch, as long as shalo yadush biparos, as long as you don't thresh it with animals. You're not allowed to thresh it with animals. What? So that's, yeah, I'm not sure if it's, you know, the Mishnah Berurah The way that I saw it brought down was because of Shinoi, that you have to do it in a different way than normal. Mr. Brewer says Avsha Milsa, to do it with the animals. Not sure exactly what he means. Avsha Milsa means like it's not nice. So I'm not sure if he means it's not nice to do it that way on Chol HaMoed. Maybe it's too much of work to do it that way. I mean, too normal to do it that way. Maybe he means they didn't normally do it that way, and it was a disgusting way to do it. I'm not sure why that would be specific to Chol HaMoed. So that's one reason, perhaps, why they did it in a different way. Another reason, besides that, they were trying to hide it, but also they did it with the Shinoi in a different way, because you're not allowed to thresh with animals on Chol HaMoed.
Here it says, Gideon was using the heavy beams of the wine press.
Okay. Makes sense. He was in the right place. The Radak just says he was using a staff. The Radak says, the Radak's Lashon, Chovet, Kmo Dash. It's like, to be Chovet is the same as Dash. Ella says the Radak, except that Disha is the Behemoth. Disha is done with animals. The chavita b'mako, and chavita is done with a stick. So let's read a few psukim, and then we'll come back and discuss the whole picture. Vayera elav malach Hashem, pasuk yigbeis, and the malach appeared to him. Vayomer elav, and he said to him, Hashem imcha gibor hechayo. Hashem is with you, mighty one. Vayomer elav Gidon, and Gidon said to him, Bi Adoni, tell me, my master, V'yesh Hashem imanu, is Hashem with us? V'lama mitzaasnu kozos, why has He allowed all this to befall us? V'ayechol nifla'osav, where are His wonders? Asher sipru lano avoseinu lemar, that our fathers have told over to us, saying, Halo mi Mitzrayim he'elanu Hashem, from Mitzrayim Hashem brought us up, ve'ata nitashanu Hashem, and now Hashem has abandoned us, v'yitneinu b'chaf Midian, and He's given us into the hand of Midian. Do one more pasuk, v'yifeng elav Hashem, and Hashem turned to him, Vayomer, and he said, Lech b'chochacha zeh, go with this strength, v'oshata es Yisrael mikaf Midian, and you should save B'nai Yisrael from the hand of Midian. Halosh l'asicha, behold, I have sent you. And the rock. So a lot to say about these psukim, going back to pasuk Yeralef, and the malach comes, and he sits under the tree. The Radak points out that malachim don't normally sit. Malachim stand, right? Like we find by Avram, Shosha Anashim Nitzavim, the three men, the three angels were standing. And the Radak says,
didn't they sit with Abraham for the meal?
Do we find that the pasuk says that they sat?
The word in the pasuk is v'hisha anu tafasri.
And they waited. They weaned.
V'hisha anu tafasri.
Uh-huh. Okay. Interesting. That's very interesting, actually. Okay. What's the other Radak says? I may even be saying it. The Radak says, yeah, he says, Eino ratzalom or yeshiva doesn't really mean that they sat. Because malachim don't sit. Ein nirim malachim malachim b'yeshiva kiim b'amida. He quotes a number of different psukim describing them as standing. What does vayesha mean? It means nisakev. He waited. The malach waited until Gidon turned to him. When Gidon didn't turn to him, so then he turned to Gidon, and he said, "Hashem imcha." And the Radak says it's a muscle for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The way the Malach acted toward Sidon is a muscle for HaKadosh Baruch Hu acts towards us, that he's there. He's there to be found at all times, and he's just waiting for us to turn to him and call to him. And then the Radak quotes a Medrash. Rashi is also going to quote the same Medrash, that he waited there until he found a Zechus for which to turn to Gidon for. Gidon needed a Zechus, a merit, to deserve the Malach to appear to him. And then he appeared to him. And the Medrash tells us that, Rashi brings it as well, that Yoash had been there at the wine press. His father Yoash had been there threshing the wheat. And Gidon came, and Gidon said to him, "Abba, ducking at you're older, if the Midianim come, you're not going to be able to get away in time. Let me be the one to stay here and thresh the wheat. You go inside and in hiding, and I'll take care of it." The Medrash, and the Radak describes that now the Malach said, "Kiyamta mitzvah tibud, you fulfilled the mitzvah tibudav, honoring your father. So therefore, you are fitting that my children should be redeemed by you." That was the merit that he had for the Malach to turn to him. We'll come back to that in a moment. And then the Malach appears to him. So the Malach turns to him and says, Hashem is with you. And now Gidon opens up his mouth and he says, he starts tining, he starts to criticize almost against Hashem. He says, "Why is all this befalling us? Where are all his wonders that our forefathers have told us about? You took us out of Mitzrayim and now you have seemingly abandoned us." So again, Rashi and the Radak both bring down that it was Pesach, and Gidon was saying just last night. So here's where it sounds like it was the first day of Yontif. He says last night at the Seder, we read Hallel, we thanked Hashem for we read B'tzeis Yisrael Mitzrayim. We read about the miracles that Hashem did for our fathers when He took us out of Mitzrayim. Ve'ata natashnu, and now you've abandoned us. Rashi says, "Im tzadikim hayu avoseinu." Gidon said, "If our fathers were tzadikim, so then you should take us out in their merit. And if they were rishayim, so just like you took them out, even though they were rishayim, then you should save us also." And the Medrash continues, and it says that.
Maybe they were tzadikim enough for merit to be saved. Enough merit to be
saved. It's a good question. Yeah, it's a good question. Maybe they were tzadikim enough for them to be saved, but not for their merit to last for future generations to be saved. But that's what Gidon said, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu responded, "Chayecha," before that you've found a merit for my children. So you are fit now that I should speak to you myself. And that's the next Pasuk Yudalad, Vayifen Elov Hashem. And Hashem turned to him himself, no longer through a Malach. Now it was a direct Nevuah to Gidon for the first time. The Radak says he likes this Medrash. It also explains why the Malach would have waited at first. And, right, he was waiting to see for Gidon to have a merit for him to turn to him. That merit came through the Kibud Av, the honoring his father, and then he was Melamed Tanigarya. He found a merit for Klal Yisrael, and then the Malach turns. Then Hashem says, "Okay, you're fit for me to speak to you directly and bring about the redemption for my children."
I'm not going to be able to do it.
The altar from Kelm is a beautiful piece related to this. He says that, brings down the Medrash, this the Rashi, that it took until Gidon performed the mitzvah of Kibbutz Av, so the Malach wasn't ready to turn to him, to enlist him as the leader. He says that we see that Gidon had the koach, he had the power, the strength to Lisa Olim Aviv, to bear the yoke with his father, to take responsibility for his father, and to put himself in danger in order to save his father. Said, you go inside, I'll stand here if anyone comes. And right after that, as we saw, because of this mitzvah of Kibbutz Av, of taking responsibility, showing he could take responsibility for his father, so then the Malach turns to him and he says, Hashem Yimcha Gibor Chayel, Hashem is with you, Mighty One, and you're fit to be the leader. That we see that once he showed he was willing to put himself out there for his father, for others, so then that was an indication, this is a man who can take responsibility, and who can therefore take, he says, all the more so he could take responsibility for all of Klal Yisrael. I guess that's, you know, if you give a responsible person a greater responsibility, then they'll usually step up to the challenge. So once he saw that he could, Yinosei Ba'ol, bear the burden of one person, so he could bear the burden of Klal Yisrael, that he would be responsible for their guf and their nefesh, for their body and soul, he would be able to, you know, discern why this was befalling them, what needs to be changed, and make a proper leader for Klal Yisrael. And he says we find the same thing with Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu, he kills the Mitzri, he puts himself in danger for one Jew. Right? He sees the Mitzri hitting another Jew, kills the Mitzri, puts himself in danger, he has to flee to Midian, and right after that, he merits, shortly after that, the Gilui, the revelation of Hashem at the burning bush. And Hashem appoints him to be the leader, take responsibility for Klal Yisrael, take them out of Mitzrayim. And again, it's this one act, he shows that he cares for Klal Yisrael, for someone else, and takes responsibility, and therefore he's fit to be responsible for all of Klal Yisrael, and responsible for their ruchnius, for their spirituality, for their gashmius, for their physicality, and of course Moshe becomes the greatest leader of all of our history. There's a deeper connection between these two characters, Gidon and Moshe Rabbeinu. Shlomo Kluger, in his Parish on Chumash, in Parshas Matos, the fascinating piece, Pasuk says, Hashem commands Moshe Rabbeinu after right, the tribe of Shimon and others sin with the Midianites, so after Pinchas takes his revenge on Zimri and Cosby, and in Parshas Matos, Hashem commands Moshe Rabbeinu, Nikom Nikmas B'nei Yisrael Me'eis HaMidyanim, take revenge, avenge my vengeance on B'nei Yisrael, or take vengeance for B'nei Yisrael against the Midianites. Achar Teyaseif El Amecha, afterwards you will die. You will be gathered into your nation. You will die. Shlomo Kluger asks, why does it say Achar Teyaseif El Amecha, after you will die? Why doesn't it say Ve'achar Teyaseif El Amecha, and afterwards you will die? Pasuk reads, take revenge against Midian, Achar Teyaseif El Amecha, after you will die. It should say, and take revenge, and then you will die. Why does it say Achar Tayaseh Falamecha without the Vav? So he says, he thinks that it's referring to the following. Chazal tell us, the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, we'll discuss it further probably at a later date, but the Gemara tells us that why are the 70 Zakenim that under Moshe Rabbeinu, right? We know Moshe and Aaron, we know Eldad and Medad, but we don't know the names of the rest of the elders that served on the Sanhedrin under Moshe Rabbeinu. Why doesn't it say their names? So the Gemara says that a person won't say, if he comes before a basting, and he might say, oh, you're not as great as Moshe and Aaron, you're not as great as Eldad and Medad, I'm not going to listen to you. You're not as great as Nadav and Avihu. So that's why the Pasuk says, doesn't say who the others that came in were, so that a person don't know who they were. They were also fit to judge. You don't know who they were. You can't have such a claim that, you know, you're not fit to judge me. And the Gemara just goes on to give other examples of this. And one of the examples is, because it says, Vayomer Shmuel Ela'am, Shmuel says to the nation, this is in Sefer Shmuel, Hashem Asher Asas Moshe Ves Aaron, Hashem who made, appointed Moshe and Aaron. And then it also says there, Shmuel, shortly after that, describing all the leaders that have been sent in the past to lead Klal Yisrael, and he says, Vayishlach Hashem es Yerubal v'es Bidon, and Hashem sent Yerubal, and he sent Bidon, v'es Yiftach, v'es Shmuel, he sent Yiftach, and he sent Shmuel, and he sent all these leaders to you. And in that context, so we have Moshe listed, we have Aaron listed, we have Yerubal, we have Bidon, we have Yiftach, and we have Shmuel, all used in the same context of look at all the great leaders that Hashem has sent you. And Yerubal, as we'll see shortly in the Pesukim, is Gidon. We'll see they called him Yerubal. That we'll see in the Pesukim soon. So Yerubal refers to Gidon. Bidon refers to Shimshon because he was from Shevet Dan. Gemara tells us. And you have Yiftach. And it says also in Tehillim, I believe, Moshe ve'Aaron v'Chohana v'Shmuel v'Karei Shemo. And we have in a pasuk, we have Moshe, Aaron, and Shmuel all used in the same pasuk. So the Gemara tells us that the Gemara is teaching us that it's equating the greatest of the leaders, the Moshe, Aaron, and Shmuel, who are all somewhat on equal turf, we see from that pasuk in Tehillim. It's equating them with Yerubal, which is Gidon, and Bidon, and Yiftach, to teach you that Yerubal Bidaro Kemoshe Bidaro. Yerubal, Gidon in his generation, you have to look at him like Moshe in his generation. Bidon Bidaro Shimshon in his generation, you have to look up at like Aaron. Yiftach in his generation, like Shmuel, to teach you that even somebody who doesn't seem to be so great, he's a lowly person at first, but then he's appointed to be the leader. So, if he's the leader, then he's the leader. He's like the greatest, the mightiest of the mighty. Brings other examples of this idea. But the idea is that Moshe, Gidon Bidaro, Yerubal Bidaro, Kemoshe Bidaro. In his generation, he's like Moshe in his generation. So Rav Shlomo Kluger, though, takes this idea a step further. I'm not sure if he's also coming from somewhere else, or just from this Gemara, but he says, you can say that Gidon was Mishoresh Nishmas Moshe, from the, I don't know if this is the same thing as a Gilgul, a reincarnation of Moshe Rabbeinu, or just that they had some aspect of them that was the same, Shoresh Nishmas, the root of the Neshama of Moshe. But he says it was each one according to his generation. that Moshe was greater because his generation was greater and needed a greater leader. In fact, the Gemara says, Chazal tell us that it says, Lechreid, at Har Sinai, when they've sinned with the Egel, so it says Lechreid, go down. There's a Chazal that I only made Kum Nasati Lecha Gadol Bishvil Yisrael. I only made you great because of Klal Yisrael was great. But now that they're lower, so Lechreid, so you go down also, Moshe Rabbeinu. So, however, the generation of Gidon, which wasn't as great as the generation of Moshe, so then Gidon didn't have to be as great. But he says, why was it Gidon, the one who was the shoresh of the neshama of Klal Yisrael, that of Moshe Rabbeinu, that was zocha to take over, to be the one to destroy Midian, as he's going to do, as we'll see. So he says it was specifically because he was the shoresh of Moshe Rabbeinu, and then Moshe Rabbeinu in his time, he couldn't avenge Midian in his lifetime, because, as Chazal tell us, that because Midian took care of him, he grew up in Midian, he spent all that time in Midian, and so it would have been a lack of Akaras HaTov, or a Kafui Tov, a denial of the good that they did for him, to be the one to enact punishment against them, and so therefore it had to be Pinchas in his time. And he had to wait till a later generation of you know, someone else, Gidon, to enact the vengeance against Midian in a later generation. But he says that it was Mishores Nishmasu Sel Moshe, that Gidon was this continuation of Moshe Rabbeinu, that now he could finally be Nokim, finally avenge the Midianites. So that's the Pshag and the Pasuk, Nikom Nikmas B'nei Yisrael Me'esa Midianim, take revenge from the Midianim, achar te'yosef alamecha, after you will die, then you will have an opportunity sometime in the future, the shoresh of your neshama will come back, and you have the opportunity, as Gidon, to avenge the Midianim. So we have the Alter from Kelm connecting Moshe and Gidon in a beautiful way, in that they both showed that they are willing to be noseh ba'ol, to take responsibility for Klal Yisrael, and each because of that deserves to be the leader. And then we see this other connection from Rav Shlomo Kruger that it's possible that Moshe b'daro Yerubal b'daro k'Moshe b'daro, that there's a deeper idea in this pasuk that Yerubal, that Gidon was actually a continuation of Moshe, Yisharish Nishmaso, and finishing off the work that Moshe Rabbeinu could not accomplish during his lifetime. How are we doing on time here? Okay, I think we're going to have to hold it.